Look around yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue. Planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look to an edifice of this nature, when we examine the foundation that this thing is built on, it cannot help but stimulate our imagination to think about ourselves. Just like this great building, we ourselves have to have a foundation. Otherwise, we can't continue. And this is a basic principle that's been outlined for us in the Bible, as well as in the character of the prophets, especially in our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And what we want to talk about now is, what is the akhlaq, the behavior, the way? What is the way of a true believer? And what it should it be based on? We find in the New Testament that that was a discussion there as well, talking about a rock, a solid rock, a foundation to believe what? And what was it that Peter, also known as Petra, by the way, well, we were over there, we showed you that program recently, and we're talking about something so solid, such heavy foundation, that it will never move. It is there. And what was it? And we find the same thing in Islam, and that's to build your character on true belief. The belief that a person has that's based on evidence, based on proof, and based on logic. And is it logical? And I'll let you examine that for yourself. As we look to this very building that we're in right now, and we know that it was built at the time of Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi. He's a very famous person in Muslim history because of his character, because of his way of handling situations. He was actually from Kurdistan. I'm a bit partial to that part of the world, having some relatives from there myself. And I would like to just examine his character and think about, what did Islam do for him, as well as some of the other famous people that we know in Islam? Before Islam comes to a person, they may base their character on their whims and desires, their lusts, and their personal goals and satisfaction, especially when it comes to the idea of retribution, to get even. We want to get even because somebody did something to us. And it's very famous in the life of Salah al-Din to know that the people who were his enemies at the time, fighting in Jerusalem against them, they were shedding blood and doing mischief way beyond anything that you could imagine. They were just really bad, okay? And on one of the occasions, the pilgrims who were going to Mecca for their Hajj, these enemies came and attacked those innocent people who had no defense whatsoever, and not only that, but they killed his daughter. So when Salah al-Din had the opportunity, when he was in a position that he could give this retribution and deal across the board with all of them, he said, I only want the one who actually did the killing. Who was the one behind it? This is the one that I want. And do you know what he did? He went after that to the extent that when the people heard it and saw it, they said, you know, this strange man, because he could kill all of us, but he just wanted the one who was the guilty party, the one who ordered it to be done, the one who was behind the trigger, so to speak. And that's how he dealt. He was very fair. But he didn't do it just because of his great personality, but that his personality was built on the teachings, the true teachings of the fundamentals of Islam. Because in Islam, we know from the Quran that we must behave in the best manner regardless of what others do to us. When we see Muslims who fall out of character and give in to their own desires, their own lusts, take the law into their own hands, we realize this to be not a part of Islam, but rather in opposition, direct counter opposition to what real Islam is teaching us. If someone, for instance, the Bible tells us, that if somebody slaps your right cheek, give them the other cheek. Well, what do you think it really means? It doesn't mean to put your face out there so somebody can slap you, but it means that you don't react. You don't go right away to say, well, I want my pound of flesh. I want my rights right now. that, as a matter of fact, one of the beautiful teachings in Islam is that although you're allowed to take your rights, it's your right, but it tells us in Islam it's better for you if you forgive the people. Because then what? Because at that stage, on the day of judgment, you too can be forgiven. And I need to be forgiven. I want God to forgive me. Because after all, if I don't forgive, then how can I be expecting Allah to forgive me on the day of judgment? And this is just one of the many characteristics, one of the things that we find in Islam that builds character. And again, I want to reflect on where we're at, because this, we came here for a reason. We want you to see the building. We want you to get in the mood to understand, really understand what it feels like. And the feeling that comes from Islam is that I know what I'm doing has got to be right. If I stay with the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, the way of Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, then I'm sure, without a doubt, I will be right on the day of judgment. Let's talk about our character a little bit more and think about this. What is the first and foremost thing in Islam? The first thing is the rights, the haq. We call it the haq, the rights. And who has the most rights on me? Who? And it would be Almighty God. He created me. He sustains me. He gave me everything. So he has the most rights. And he has the right to be worshipped alone without any partners. That's a given. That's what we find in the Old Testament. That's what we find in the New Testament. And that's what we find in the last testament, the Quran. They all say the same thing. La ilaha illallah. There is no God to worship except God. Don't have any other gods beside God. Thou shalt not have any other gods beside me. And who is saying that? God. So that's his right. And then after that, each and every one of his messengers has the right to be followed, to be observed, and to be patterned after. We see them and their character and their way, and we understand this is what we're supposed to do, as well as listen to them. They're telling you do this and don't do that. And so this is what you do. You follow your prophet. At the time of Moses, the people followed him. At the time of Muhammad, they follow him. At the time of Jesus, they had to follow him. So the last of the prophets is the one we should be following. At the time of Moses, they wouldn't say, well, we're going to follow Abraham. We don't care about Moses. No, you wouldn't do that. Because when God has sent you another messenger, it's time to listen up what he has for you. Because times change, but the religion doesn't. But how do we apply it? How do we understand it? How can we get into what our religion is about? And that's why God continually sends us new messengers. But now the last and the final messenger has come. And that message is preserved. That message is the Quran. The Quran is the recitation of Almighty God to Muhammad through the angel Gabriel. And we have no doubt about it. Every part of what we're talking about right now here today, we can verify it with proof, evidence that's solid, tested. When you consider that a fourth of the world's population, we're talking about 17, 18, 19 billion human beings walking around on the earth. They all agree that the Quran is only one. There's not two versions. That's a fact. And they all agree that it's only in the Arabic language. And that's a fact. And that it is still existing today by recitation form and in written form as it was at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. Whoa! Now there's a foundation you can build on. There is something that you can rely on. There's something you don't have to have any doubt in it. And look to what it says in the Quran when it starts out. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alif lam mim. Dhalikul kitabu la rayba fi. Hudal lil muttaqin. And here God is giving you the answer. The answer. You want to be guided? I do. I'm sure you do. So he's saying to you, that book is the one wherein there is no doubt whatsoever. And it is a guidance for those who believe. Those who choose to believe and do the good deeds that Islam is calling for. These are the people who are going to be on that foundation that we're talking about. Just as this building here is on an ancient foundation, yet it stands so strong against the elements, stood so strong against the enemies that attacked it. How did it manage to survive? Because it was built on a strong foundation. And in the same way, we, you and I, have a responsibility to build our foundation of our character on that very thing. So the Quran, there's our foundation. The follow-up and the guidance, this is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And along the way, after Allah and His Messenger, who then would have the most rights on us? And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he answered the question completely. He said, your mother. They said, what? Because the Arabs at that time gave no respect to any women, even including their mother. He said, your mother. And they said, oh, and then who? He said, your mother. And then who? Your mother. And then your father. Your parents. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back and look. Oh, that's right. That is the fifth commandment. In the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt honor thy mother and thy father. And it's the same thing in Islam. It's the same thing in the Quran. The honor, the dignity that you give to your parents is above any other human being. No matter. Even if they're not Muslim? Yes, even if they're not Muslim. You must give them that honor, dignity, and respect. And if you don't, you can imagine, on the Day of Judgment, Allah, He's not even going to look at you. Your good deeds are in the toilet. You're gone. You're toast. You're done because you didn't take care of your parents. So this is a very important issue in Islam, is how we treat our parents. And after that is the treatment of who? Yourself. You have a responsibility to your body to take care of it. And we will quickly say, don't look at my body, okay? And this is true. Don't look to the Muslims for any of the mistakes, but rather look to what Islam teaches to find out how it can benefit you. Does it make sense? And carry that to another level. Who then has rights? Your spouse. Who then? Your children. Who then? Your neighbors. Who then? All of the community, every single human being on this planet has rights on you. Because you are a human and you understand what you're supposed to be doing. You have a character. You have an ability to use that character. Go forth and do good. And this is what Islam has taught all of us from day one. Amanu wa amilu salihat. So after the belief, the iman in Allah is the mu'amala, the deeds and the actions. And what are they if they're not going to be something constructive to help others? If you're just doing something to benefit yourself, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're wasting your time. That's what you're doing. We could go on. We could go on and on. But just briefly, we'll touch on a couple of things and let you think about it. Did you know that in Islam, after the rights of the human beings, is the rights of animals? What? Yes, animals have rights. All of the animals that are mentioned in the stories of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, we know that those animals were given rights, clear rights. Don't overburden them. Don't punish them. Don't abuse them. Don't ignore them. Don't leave them. And I'll give you one quick example. The lady who was praying day and night and doing all the fasting and so on, but she had a cat. She kept it chained up. She wouldn't let it go out to eat. The cat died as a result of the abuse of this woman. And on the Day of Judgment, God did not forgive her, but rather put her in the hellfire for what? For her bad treatment of that poor cat. Another lady who was a prostitute, who was, and this is one of the worst things a woman could possibly do, but still, she had a heart. She went down, climbed down, down, down in the depths of a well. And when she was down there, she was able to satisfy her thirst. She was so thirsty. When she came up to the top and she said, oh my God, there's a dog here. Look at this poor dog. He was dying. He had nothing to drink. She went back down again, down in the depths of that well, and she got the water and she came out with it and she gave it to that dog. And because she had done this, God forgave her and gave her paradise. Can you imagine that? We could go on. We could talk about the rights of the trees and the plants. Islam is telling us that even these plants have rights. Even in a war, you cannot destroy these trees and plants. No, you can't. They didn't do anything to you. And then, what about minerals? Now you're going to say, no, wait a minute, you're carrying this too far. Our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told one of his followers about water. Because he was saying, well, how much water should we use when we make ablution or wudu before we pray? He told him, be conservative. He said, well, how conservative? He said, even if you're in a river, water's flowing by, still be very careful with the water. And that's 1,400 years ago, long before we had Greenpeace. And you know what I'm talking about. So what about the rights? The behavior, the character, these are the things that build you up to be just like the building where we are right now. And you have something that will go on after you because you'll teach your children to be the same way. These are just some of the beautiful things that we learn from Islam. These are just a few of the basic fundamentals, the tenets that open up our minds and our hearts to understand what Islam is really about. So keep watching, because we've got a lot more for you, and we encourage you to visit our website, islamreligion.com. Check it out. We'll see more, share more. Bye.
Around yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us? Or are we so blind to push it all aside? No, we just have to open our eyes, our hearts and minds. If we just look right, we'll see the signs. We can't keep hiding from the truth and let it take us by surprise. Protect us in the best way. Guide us every single day. Keep us close to you.